Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is Monday, April 22nd. The Mets have continued their series win streak with an impressive 2 out of 3 in Los Angeles. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Shea Station podcast. It's been an eventful week in Metsland, a sweep of the Pirates, 2 out of 3 in Los Angeles. City Connects announced, injuries happened as well. A lot is going on, but the team is winning big ball games in April. I am here with Jerry Blevins, as always. Jerry, how are you doing, man?
I'm lovely, man. I'm excited to talk about some Mets baseball. They're playing, continued to play really good baseball against what can only be so said as a very, very good LA Dodgers team. So 2 out of 3 on the road, headed to San Francisco now against another very good scrappy type team. But they continued to play their brand of baseball and they took 2 out of 3 from the big bad Dodgers.
Yeah, it was huge to see getting that game two win. We'll go through the ins and outs of all of this, but a lot to love. Lindor finally breaking through from the left side. The bullpen continues to come up with massive outs. Starting pitching, doing enough to get by. We'll see how long that formula continues to succeed, but it's really been the offense for me that has stuck out because it's just, you know, game in and game out, they seem to be putting up crooked numbers. They seem to be beating teams in offense late in games when it matters most. And they battle back, you know, even with blown leads and stuff like that. They really, you know, they put the foot on the neck and continue to just win close games. Going back to the Pittsburgh series to brush on it quickly, a really nice outing from Luis Severino. I think, you know, he had to battle back a little bit, but got through 6 innings. And getting the sweep there, I think, was huge because we've kind of sent the Pirates on a little bit of a cold streak. Yeah, I think they got swept by the Red Sox right after. But I think the main focus of this episode has to be the Los Angeles series. The Mets taking 2 out of 3 on the road to kick off that road trip. We've now won series against the Dodgers and the Braves. That's only mid-April, Jerry. It's pretty good.
It's great. We put the Pirates in a slide. They've been getting beat up since that series. Yeah. But to me, yeah, the story outside of Alvarez's injury, which is very significant.
Substantial.
He's going to be out a month or two. It's going to be a while for him to battle back that thumb. What a freak thing.
Yeah.
Just got it. He's tough. He looked kind of down with talking to the reporters the next day, understandably, because he just wants to play ball. But Tomas Nito, our old friend.
Got a hit yesterday.
A great dude. I'm happy to see him. And he was raking in AAA. Not just that. He threw a dude out. That first one. First caught stealing.
Really
showing
nice
off the skill set.
Is that our first of the season?
I think so.
Might be.
I believe it is. So this is kind of the story. Guys are filling in. Guys are playing their part, their role. Outside of your boy, Joey Wendell. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing and contributing, and it's been nice, man.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, as we once said in 2022, it's a next man up kind of season. And that's what we saw in this Dodgers series, especially. They took a 4-0 lead off Yamamoto. The big hit there DJ Stewart again, solo home run, jumped on the first pitch, just continues to amaze. You mentioned Joey Wendell. He had a tough two-error inning, which led this game to be tied, but the Mets just battled back. They put five unanswered runs on top of the Dodgers bullpen. Marte looks fantastic at the plate. We'll talk about him more. And Harrison Bader with a four-hit game, like super quietly in the first game. So the Mets put up nine runs against Yoshinobu Yamamoto and the Dodgers pen to take that first game. But I think game two is the bigger win for me because that was the one that was really in doubt. Your guy, Jose Buda, was on the bump. Five walks through the first two innings. I think that was kind of part of the plan a little bit. Like, let's just pitch around the top three guys and hopefully we get everybody else out. And that's kind of exactly what he did. I thought it was still a good outing from him, all things considered.
Yeah, he showed some scrap there. That style of pitching, he was a little bit fearful of throwing the ball over the heart of the plate. Yeah. He pitched how he did a little bit last year, especially when he first started coming up and having success. His goal was to get through five and keep the team in a place. That's what it looked like to me. And he was successful to get to that bullpen that's been the best in the game.
Maybe.
It's up there. Like, they've been doing great. They've had everybody step up for the most part. Those middle guys are doing great. And that was a huge win to be able to see Buda struggle early, then settle in and kind of be smooth through the middle. Great. It was a really, really solid performance when he wasn't at his best.
Yeah, I want to give big time props to the manager, Carlos Mendoza, for this game. I thought the bullpen usage in this one was just very smart, very situational. Using Diaz in the eighth, we've seen it before. Was a little shaky, had a couple walks there. Pitching coach came out, talked him down, a couple strikeouts to follow that. And that's kind of the situation we need to use him in. Heart of the order, high leverage, you know, spot. Use your best pitcher there and then trust your guys, trust the next man up, which happens to be Reed Garrett, who gets his first career save. So just an absolute magic start to the season continues for him. I'm really happy that he gets, you know, the first save of his career. And the Mets bullpen, you know, five walks in this game from the pen, but still 4 2/3 innings, two earned runs, eight strikeouts. It's kind of been the formula, walks and strikeouts and just navigating around base runners. And it's been working. So it's hard to complain.
But it's kind of an unsustainable model of success with the walks, because they'll come back to bite you because it's still big league hitting. But I love what I've seen from Mendoza, his usage. You're riding Edwin Diaz is going to be Edwin Diaz. Yeah. I don't think Reed Garrett's going to continue to strike out every single person on the planet. But the fact that he felt secure enough, Mendoza, understanding the hot hand and bringing in Reed Garrett for the save, knowing that he's on a hot streak,
yep.
I love it. And if it didn't work out, I still like it because I like using the guys that are hot, moving guys in the lineup that are hot, making sure bringing Marte pretty much immediately when he showed those sparks of life back into the two spot. That's clutch for me. Those are things that show me that he's paying attention. He's seeing what's going on. He's got a feel for his players. He's got a feel for the game situation. He's not afraid to do something a little bit unorthodox. He's not afraid of standing, you know, or sitting at his desk after the game and telling the reporters like, hey, look, yeah, it didn't work out, but this is my method. I had a reason for doing this. It says, you know, I shouldn't have done that. He's going to face those questions because it's not always going to work out. But he's confident in what he's seeing. And for me, as a first time manager in the big leagues, in the biggest market that you can have, for him to be this confident in himself, it's an extension of what I saw from him in his interviews after they signed him and he became the manager. It was very telling on how controlled he was, how confident he exudes that. And you can see it wasn't an act. It had me a little nervous because we've seen that kind of guy shine in
New York
in
can humble
interview
you a
moment. Yeah. And then when the heat is on and now he's got to make those decisions to kind of fall back and be safe. He's not playing it safe. He's managing, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ron said it during game two, but he said you know, it's one of the few managers you can watch and observe. And he doesn't have a clipboard in front of his face. He doesn't have a card that he's constantly looking at. He's just watching the game. Like, he's just observing what's going on in the game. I've liked that. I've really liked how forthcoming he's been in post-game interviews, especially with like the recent injury stuff that happened. He was very upfront. There's no dancing around it. I don't mean it's just, it happens to be around me. When the Yankees have an injured player, there's almost always a song and dance, and there's some sort of lying. With both of these injuries between Brooks Raley and Francisco Alvarez, fans kind of knew the situation immediately. And yeah. I really appreciate that kind of thing, because there is no real reason to lie. The truth is going to come out either way. And the Mets were winning games despite those injuries dampening it. You mentioned Marte in the two-hole. That's kind of what won game two. His first pitch homer off Ryan Brazier in the two-hole, a three-run homer, gave the Mets a 5-2 lead. That would be all they needed to win the game 6-4. Lindor with a nice insurance hit at the end there. And then game three was kind of just, we won the series. Hauser had a bad day. Glasnow looked amazing. He might be the best pitcher in the National League when he's healthy. Mets just lose 10-0. But a series win is a series win, and I got to imagine they're feeling pretty good about taking 2 out of 3.
V, I wanted to mention game two again. This is another sign where they can say, we're finding ways to win. Mm. They had a chance to lose it with the Joey Wendell inning, losing that lead. They found a way to win instead. They continued to play. They continued to put pressure on. They felt like they were going to win, and you saw the fight. I think it was a kind of like, you know, early season, one of those wins where could have gone the other way, could have been easy to fold in Dodger Stadium. But they chose violence, and I love it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fearsome pitching staff. It's a fearsome lineup first and foremost. And I think shining on both sides of the ball with just not a lot of household names was really cool. It's been the bullpen. It's been the story of the season. They're on the 6-game win streak. They had a 1.61 ERA. They were striking out nearly half the batters they faced, 48% strikeout rate. And I love this. I made a note of this. Three different relievers got a save. Edwin Diaz got one. Drew Smith got one against Pittsburgh. And then Reed Garrett in that second game against LA. Everyone's getting used, man. And with this Brooks Raley injury, which appears like it's going to be the minimum 2 weeks, 15 days, whatever you want to call it, I'm not worried about this, you know, roster talent in the bullpen at all. Between Smith, between Diaz, between Ottavino, who's been great since, you know, a couple shaky first two outings, there's just arms back there that this rotation that I had a lot of qualms with, it's just not really mattering. Because I think once the Mets get to the fifth inning, they feel like every day if they're winning, or even if it's close, that they're going to win the game because they're tacking on late and they're throwing up zeros in the innings that matter the most.
Yep. That's, you nailed it. Brooks Raley going down is a loss too. You know, it's not as long term, it doesn't feel like, as what Alvarez is definitely going to be. He's a huge piece of it.
Yeah.
Brooks Raley allows a lot more creativity in the back end. It's going to be a loss, but they've got these guys to step up. You're going to need Diekman to kind of be a little bit more elite and consistent. But they still have guys that they can use. Drew Smith has been really good. That gives them flexibility. And then when Reed Garrett's doing that and Jorge Lopez is doing his thing, it allows Diaz to have some outings where he's not as sharp. But it's a very, very solid bullpen top to bottom.
Yeah. I mean, before the loss yesterday, they ranked first in the National League in ERA. They were second in strikeout percentage, first in opponent's average. But the thing we mentioned is kind of a looming note. They lead MLB in walks. They have an 11.4 walk rate despite all these great results. And it's kind of just going to become a matter of when will the issue get corrected, or when will the issue finally come back to bite the Mets? You hope to ride the magic as long as you can, but I think it was definitely apparent in this Dodgers series, the strategy of pitching around, but also just the unwillingness at certain points to throw a strike to any combination of Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman. And because, you know, to be fair, when they did throw Freddie Freeman strikes, he was putting up runs. But you got to wonder, man, like, I don't know, how long can the Mets pitching staff live like this?
So what I do like is the guys that are walking guys are strikeout guys.
Right.
Those are like a Drew Smith. If he doesn't give in and he's able to put a guy on, the fact that he can come back and get a strikeout and he's doing it, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Edwin Diaz on occasion walking a guy because you know he can come out and get a ground ball because he's got that slider, or he can get a punch out. These are the rotations walk rate is a little bit alarming for me. I don't think Buddha can continue that, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Buddha will be back to being his dominant self when he returns to the field. They'll be back home. But I do like their approach. They have an idea what they're trying to do, and they're not giving in. I really think those numbers will kind of settle down as far as the walk rate, but it's working, and I think it'll continue to work because I think those will come down.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they faced a lot of good teams early on, you know, so that just kind of happens naturally. I do want to ask you before we move on to the offense and the injuries around that. I don't want to completely ignore game three. I want to talk about Adrian Houser a little bit. He was solid but shaky through four innings, and then the fifth inning really, really got away from him. It's been kind of a tough four starts. I don't really think he's really shined in any of these starts. They kind of pulled him at the right time or left him in, and it's kind of been spoiled later in the game. Are you giving any thought to Houser potentially being out of the rotation and maybe calling on somebody from AAA? Because it's been a really nice start for both Lucchese and Christian Scott, and maybe one of those guys gets an opportunity. I don't really know at this point.
I don't think we're there yet. I think they're going to give him time to kind of level out. He's still got that sinker going. His walks are unsustainable, though. Right. He doesn't have strikeout stuff. I don't think he can – if his inability to throw strikes on a consistent basis continues and he has to be in the zone, it's unsustainable. But I can see him getting, you know, at least another couple of weeks, maybe two, three, four starts. If he has two starts that are both – you know, four walks, five walks, then I think you pull the trigger on him. But I you've got a longer leash. He's earned it. His stuff is still there. I think he'll be okay. But he's definitely the guy that's on the bubble. If Christian Scott is out of this world and continues to do what he's been doing, I think they'll make a move for him.
Yeah.
I don't think Lucchese will be the guy yet. I think Lucchese is break glass in case of emergency or 27th man kind of thing. But if Christian Scott is ready, they'll move for him and he'll have the spot. I don't see them playing around with him.
Here's what I'll say about Scott. He's got 26 strikeouts in 14 innings in AAA, just three walks in that span. Houser, like you mentioned, it's been very uncharacteristic. He does get hit around and he manages contact well. Last year, he had a 2.7 walk per nine, which is about his career average. This year, he's up to 6.5, Jerry. There's no way to live that way.
Yeah, that's the thing for me is I don't think that's him.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't iron it out quickly, I think they'll make a move if Scott's still doing his thing.
It could be a really fun young rotation with Buddha and Scott. It's really cool that Buddha is not the odd man out. It looks like he kind of has his spot. I think he really earned it in game two. I think so.
He earned it for me at the end of last year.
Yeah.
How good he looked in spring training. He looked really good in spring training. He looked like he did during the season. I love what he's done. He's in the rotation. And then Houser would be the bullpen guy. He would take over that Michael Tonkin role.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. But for Scott, I think, you know, he's got a sub 0.91 whip. His career whip is 1.07. I don't know what kind of innings limit he might be on because Last year, he only threw 87 innings. So I could see them riding the hot hand and then sitting him down when Lucchese's ready and kind of giving him some rest. It'll be interesting. Like, that's the part of managing or running an organization that I am unfamiliar with on what their approach is, because there's no set formula on right. what you're supposed to do. But if he's ready, dude, they're gonna call him up. He's given up a ton of home runs. But those are solo shots that shows me that he's confident in what he's doing. And that's okay. When you're logging 5, 6, 7 innings and you give up one home run, you're still giving your team a chance to win. So if they make the move if Hauser has two more starts like this, I think they'll make the move for Christian Scott. But I don't see them doing it for Lucchese.
Okay. Yeah. Mid-May call up kind of sounds realistic.
Yeah. Or they'll wait until Senga is ready.
Right.
You know, he's got a while, but they've got options. They've got more depth in the rotation than they've had in years past. Both guys will make starts at some point, I think. And you're going to need them. But for now, you know, I think Hauser's still going to stick around. But you can't keep doing it to the bullpen, especially when they need Budo. They're not going to push Budo like 4 1/3. That's not a great start. He was competitive, but that's when your bullpen, that's when they're like, all right, we'll pick it up for him because he's an unproven entity. They can't back that up with Hauser and have the same thing. You need a guy. You need to use 3 or 4 guys for the rest of that game. So that's worrisome. But again, it's so early. I think Hauser can iron it out.
Yeah, I mean, we've only gotten, I think, 4 6 inning outings. So we've needed at least 3 innings from the bullpen every single game of this season. You can't live that way for too long. But I'm curious to see what the leash is like. You mentioned Kodai Senga posted a very positive update 3 days ago, had a bullpen at Citi Field, said he was feeling great. So hopefully May is in the realm of possibility, getting, you know, him and Alvarez back and maybe Scott called up all at the same time. Could be a really nice talent infusion. And just because I had it pulled up, Tomas Nito was hitting .345 at AAA. So good for Nito.
Breaking.
Hitting a little bit. Let's talk about the offense.
And he looked good at the plate yesterday.
Yeah. Let's talk about the offense. They put up some crooked numbers in the series, aside from the last game.
Well, the zero is crooked.
Ah, it's true. It's like a slanted kind of zero. I highlighted 4 guys here, but honestly, we can talk about the offense as a whole unit. It was a kind of another series of Pete Alonso disappearing a little bit and the guys around him picking him up, which is what we sung the praises of a couple of weeks ago. I think the biggest one here is Lindor. Lindor had a really nice series, especially from the left side, finally got his first homer from the left side, had a double from the left side. I think those were his first 2 extra base hits as a lefty. And since his ovation, he's hitting .324. He's got 3 extra base hits, 4 walks. Are you starting to buy in that he's gearing up and getting back to his normal self now?
I am. I think Lindor is going to be fine. I think he's found his left-handed stroke. I think he'll be okay. I think he's still got, you know, a way to climb, but you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's not the biggest story for me. We touched on Marte. We touched on what he looks like. He looks like the dynamic version of Starling Marte that they signed to that 4-year deal. For me, it's Jeff McNeil.
Yeah.
You highlighted, he's got a 5-game hit streak, 7 for 17. That's a .412 average. He's got 4 doubles. That's the key to me.
Mm-hmm.
The key is when he's getting extra base hits, he's finding gaps. He's shooting the ball down the line. That's when he's at his best. He's a doubles machine when he's on fire. And with Marte being where he's at, allowing McNeil to go towards the bottom half of the lineup, it's such a good, nasty, tough lineup. When Jeff McNeil's batting 6, 7, 8, 9, and he's doing things with it because he's dangerous.
Yep.
He's a tough guy to manage against. He's a tough guy to pitch to. He makes this lineup so much deeper. I was worried about him early in the season, big time, because it didn't look It looked like last year's, first few months.
Yep.
He had that late spring because of the biceps, but he looks locked in. And for me, with Marte being solid, Lindor is going to stay in that spot. He's going to be. That's why I like Lindor. He's not going to move. They're going to let him hit. They're going to ride or die with him and Pete no matter what, and understandably, and that's how it should be. But when Jeff McNeil is doing Jeff McNeil type things, this lineup is so deep.
Yep. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, seeing Jeff, get a pitch middle in, middle down, and instead of trying to pull it, he just shoots it to the other side and grabs two bases. That's the McNeil we fell in love with 2 years ago. And I think he's getting back there a little bit. And also, he's taking his walks too. He's got as many walks as strikeouts on the season. So he's swinging at good pitches as well. And having him at the bottom with Bader, who's now hitting over 300 and has had like some signature games, that's got to be so annoying for opposing managers. You're trying to get maybe a lesser middle reliever for an inning, or trying to extend the starter one more inning, and you have to deal with two absolute pests at 7 and 8 in the lineup, just trying to reset it for your big guys. That's what makes this offense go. That's why they're scoring so late in games. It's because the top of the order is getting RBI chances. I mean, Nimmo leads the team in RBIs at the leadoff spot. How many times do you see that on a major league team? It's not very often. Him and Marte leading the way at 1-2. It's really cool.
That's the key to adding on. You don't have to depend on, I'm going to turn my Wi-Fi on here. It seems to be a little shaky.
Yeah, we lost you for a second.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know. I'm wired in, but the fact that you can get guys on base in scoring position with the top of the lineup coming back up, it makes it impossible to skip your big guys in the middle of the order or in the middle of the game. Sixth, seventh inning, you can't go to your number four, number five guy, because you're going to get them against one of your top dogs at the top of the lineup.
And Jerry, what are we? We're 20 something games into the season, 21, something like that. The leader in Mets OPS by a wide margin is DJ Stewart. Isn't that it's incredible. It's a really, really cool story. I mean, I know we got a JD Martinez update. He played in the game. He could play Friday. But I've really, really enjoyed watching DJ Stewart take at-bats. I think he had a 3-walk game in game 2. He homered off Yamamoto. He's kind of just the icing on the cake in the middle of the lineup for me. It's just a really fun lineup to watch day in and day out.
It is, yeah. And you nailed it. DJ Stewart has earned that right. He is the offensive Jose Buto, in a sense, where he was like, all right, we're going to feel you out. He's played really well. He had a rough start, but he's figured it out. And he said something on that home run for Yamamoto. They talked about the game plan with Chavez, how they were, he was using a surprise fastball. Even though he has a good good fastball, he was working it, getting ahead, and then popping that fastball. But DJ Stewart, like Carlos Mendoza, was paying attention to the game. He saw that Yamamoto was coming early to get ahead of guys to get to those off speeds. So he switched his game plan. Yamamoto, guess what DJ Stewart did? He also switched his game plan. And he jumped on that first pitch fastball and crushed it. That's a good ball club. When you have a game plan coming in, you've seen the numbers, you've watched video, the guy is... this is his style, and all of a sudden he's in the game and he's not doing that. You have to be able to pivot. You have to be able to make adjustments. And this shows me that these guys are paying attention. They're willing to put the work in and be prepared, but also willing to watch the game and see it with their own eyes. It's the best of both worlds. You're prepared if things go according to the analytics. You're ready to go. This is typically what he does. But if it's not happening, guess what? You figure it out because it's baseball. You make adjustments. I love it. DJ Stewart has earned his spot, that left-handed, fourth outfielder, the guy, he's going to get some lefty DH. He's going to make some pinch hits late in the game. think about if he's on the bench, JD Martinez is in the lineup. You have, you know, a right-handed bat, or Tomas Nito's up, or Narvaez is up, but you need some thunder. You're going to bring in DJ Stewart to face that guy. Or, you know, you've got a right-handed bat up at the bottom of the order, Harrison Bader, and it's a tough righty. You bring in DJ Stewart, and he's dangerous.
Yeah.
He's to not have that to option off of the bench or as a fourth outfielder, if he continues, obviously he might not be a one dot guy, but he's playing like it. And he's making things happen. And that's the key. We have guys that can make things happen. And I love it in the bullpen, and I love it in the lineup.
He's just seizing an opportunity, which is really cool. Yeah. And I think even when JD is up, DJ Stewart's not an awful defensive option. You can get him some time in left field. You can get him some time in right, pinch hit spots. Like, there's going to be room to still use this guy in addition to your primary DH and JD Martinez, and that lengthens the lineup even more. Something I was going to say before is that it kind of just feels like a rally can start at any point in this lineup. Like, we have run-producing bats, but we have a bunch of guys that just get on base, man. I think we're top five as a team in on-base percentage in the National League right now, and that, I think, is very indicative of the lineup rolling and, you know, moving over and resetting. Marte is obviously a big part of that in this Dodgers series. He was 4-for-10 with a homer, a double, and 6 RBIs in the first two games. Harrison Bader, we've mentioned him a lot in passing. I want to give some numbers on him, too. He's hitting over 300 on the season. His last 10 games, which is a decent sample size, he's 15-for-39, 2 doubles, a homer, 6 RBIs, and a couple walks. I don't think that was what a lot of people expected out of Harrison Bader, but this is the kind of player he's been in the past, and I think he's playing a lot more than I initially expected him to. I thought he was going to be kind of a platoon option, give Nimmo a day off from center field. He is the everyday center fielder, and he's done an excellent job at the bottom of the lineup. He's earned that spot completely. So it's really cool to see at the top of the lineup and the bottom of the lineup two guys that can not only get on base and start rallies, but hit the long ball, hit the big, you know, extra base hit and end rallies with big RBIs.
Yeah, not to mention he's got 4 bags.
Yeah, quietly.
Clutch for me. I love that he's playing center field every day. I love it for the rotation. I love it for those guys. It allows them some flexibility, the comfort of, like, Nimmo was fine in center field.
Yeah.
He was fine. Bader is excellent in center field. He covers so much ground. He allows confidence on the mound. Like, I can't stress it enough that those guys pitching, when they know Bader's behind them, they're definitely more willing to throw balls in the zone, knowing that he can make a play behind him. I really like the shape of this team.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of talk about David Stearns and his signing, but the roster's deep, man. He's got ball players everywhere. I like it. You know, even Joey Wendell, who struggled defensively, which is out of the norm, he's batting 300.
Yeah. Like, he had two hits,
doing,
I think,
it okay
in the last game. You mentioned the defense there in center field. So, like, all offseason, we're talking run prevention and bullpen. That's what he brings to the table. That's exactly what's won them a ton of games. You take Nimmo, who's a passable center fielder, like, you're okay with him out in center field, and then you make him a plus left fielder. Like, now you have 2+ outfielders to help Marte with that load in right field. Tyrone Taylor, we didn't even talk about, he didn't make much noise in this series, but he's been fantastic too.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a fun roster to watch, and we got to watch them sans Beatty and Alvarez for most of this series, and now I think we should probably talk about the troll-sized elephant in the room, which is Francisco Alvarez, likely on the shelf for 2 weeks, with such a Such a nothing freak injury, just rounding first base, putting all the weight on his thumb, and it ends up being a crucial, crucial mistake. So he's going to undergo surgery. I want to mention this because Tacoma put out a good report update on the Alvarez injury. He mentioned a quote from Brett Beatty, who had this exact same injury in 2022, which prematurely ended his, you know, breakout rookie season. Beatty said he heals completely differently than other people and he doesn't feel pain. So take with that what you will. Maybe Francisco Alvarez is truly superhuman and hopefully he can face the minimum. But it's the first big blow to this Mets team for sure.
Yep, and they're testing it early. Alvarez wasn't performing at the plate as we're hoping for that breakout. Still believe in him, still think he's going to be great, still love him behind the plate. I still love him hitting because he's dangerous regardless. It's going to be a tough loss. It's going to be tough on him. I know he feels pain. I've seen him take foul balls.
Yep.
I've seen him, I mean, catchers are a different breed anyway, though, the hockey players, the baseball. The stuff, the dings, the bruises that he has, he'll be missed. But you have to have guys step up. And I like what Narvaez brings to the table. I think he's a very solid big league catcher, a lefty bat, which is nice. He can handle the pitching staff. Nito obviously has been in this organization for a long time. He can handle this staff. If he rakes, if he hits 250,
I'd take that.
Oh my, absolutely. Because he gives you options. You don't have to pinch hit for him in the fifth. You can pinch hit for him in the eighth.
Yep.
It's different. I still like the team. We'll miss Alvarez. We miss Beatty at third base. You know, I hope he comes back feeling good. It seems like it was precautionary. I hope he still has that power in his legs. It's a good team. So I've enjoyed what I've seen from all the guys. I really like Tyrone Taylor. I didn't know much about him.
Yeah.
You know, he was like a Brewers prospect guy, but I like the way he fits on this team. I think he's big league ready. He's not this 24-year-old guy that you have to feel out. He's not the Beatty Alvarez Vientos. He's a pretty more established guy, I think, in a sense that we know what kind of player he is. And it seems the formula for the Mets has been to let him play. I like him off the bench. I like that he's right-handed because we have a lefty-heavy team so far, which is cool for me to say. But I like Tyrone Taylor as another guy off the bench, occasional starter, because he's done some things and he's got that pop. I mean, he's got two doubles and a homer. He's got more speed than I thought.
Yeah.
He's got two bags. He can play some ball, man.
Everyone's doing a little bit of everything, which is pretty cool.
They're all pulling in the same direction, man. Yeah. They're a part of the team. The main guys are doing it. Pete Alonso is doing Pete Alonso things. Lindor struggled. The teams picked him up, and hopefully this breakout series for him continues in San Francisco so he can come home and be in the confines of Citi Field and be back to doing what Francisco Lindor does.
Yeah, with the Alvarez injury, it doesn't leave me super worried about the offense. They've looked cohesive. They're a next man up offense, passing the baton. Alvarez really carried during that losing streak at the beginning of the season and cooled down. Hopefully he'll get to reset once he's back from the injury. But I think the thing that I noticed in the absence of Alvarez and Beatty that actually I thought was very cool was that I felt defensively downgraded at third base and catcher. And it's really cool to say that, like, your two young cornerstone pieces are already defensive stalwarts. Like, watching Wendell have the two-error game was tough because I felt like Beatty could have made both those plays. Watching Narvaez lose a couple strikes, I thought, oh, Alvarez probably could have framed those really well. He's been doing that all season long. It leaves me excited for when they're back and fully healthy because those are just reliable guys that once, you know, even a year ago, you couldn't count on in the field, and you really couldn't count on the bat either. So hopefully we get that combination back in the lineup as soon as possible to go with JD Martinez, who is back rehabbing, played yesterday for the St. Lucie Mets, went 2-for-3. He's going to go up to AAA tomorrow and Wednesday. And Carlos Mendoza said in a quote, hopefully he's a player for us Friday. That'll be the Mets lineup pretty much at full strength, which is really exciting.
That is very exciting. And again, I like that JD Martinez knows himself. He knows he needed time, because at the end of spring training, we're like, just get him in there, let him feel his lumps out. And we saw what that did to Jeff McNeil. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't ready. And this is a different animal, obviously. I'm excited for the dynamic of him coming back. I just want him to be ready to come in, step in, and produce like he's done his whole career, because it changes. Because I was hoping for an Alvarez power breakout. Hasn't gotten yet.
Yeah.
Could still happen. But I have expectations for JD Martinez to be that guy, and to carry the load and to help out, you know, Pete Alonso and Francisco Alvarez in the heart of that order. I expect him to bat fifth, and I want him to bat fifth when he gets there, to just be in that spot.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's going to be exciting. You won't be ready for this upcoming Giants series. The Mets kick it off tonight at Oracle. Jose Quintana gets the ball. On the Giants side, two names I definitely recognize. One name I don't recognize, Keaton Wynn. He's going to pitch tonight. I haven't seen him pitch before. It should be interesting. Quintana's still searching for that first quality start. I want to call him quality start Quintana. Give me six tonight. Hopefully we can get some length out of him. Seve gets the ball in game two against Logan Webb, which is a little bit daunting. He's been great, as he always is. And then a fun one in game three, Sean Manaea gets the ball against Blake Snell, who's had a really tough go since joining the Giants. He hasn't finished five innings yet. Alonso and Nimmo both have a couple home runs off Snell. Hopefully that can be an offensive game. This is a really interesting matchup. Michael Conforto is having a fantastic year for the Giants. Wilmer Flores has been there for a while. It's always a little weird when we play them, because it's just a lot of old familiar faces of a past era of Mets baseball. But it's really cool. I wanted to bring up Conforto because I just think it's awesome that he's having a terrific year so far.
Yeah, me too, man. He's a good dude. I'm happy to see him healthy and playing and producing. They've got a fun team, man, in San Francisco. They've got Matt Chapman out there. Wilmer Flores against the Quintana is a tough matchup, because he crushes lefties. Oh, trust me. I've seen it firsthand too many times. God, how long has he been there? I feel like
probably five years, now, I'd guess.
Yeah, he's found a home for himself.
5 years. Yep.
5 years. That's good. Good for him, man. I'm happy to find an old friend, find another home, and be appreciated for the same way that they were appreciated here. But yeah, Conforto will be a weapon in that. He'll probably bat cleanup or fifth. Quintana probably fifth. But yeah, he's been good. This team is dynamic. This team plays defense. They're built similar to the Mets that we see. Logan Webb is a true ace. Blake Snell is coming off of a Cy Young. He's struggled mightily, but he's dangerous. He can do what Glasnow did to us. Because they pitch similarly.
Yeah.
Except Glasnow was, dude, can we talk about Glasnow for a minute? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. When he's healthy, like, he might be the best pitcher in the league.
He talked a little bit about with Chris Rose. He talked about some of the things that the Dodgers told him about his delivery, that they think the changes, subtle changes that they've made for him to be durable.
Mm.
It looks like he's dialed back his velocity to where he can go longer. He looks like a Cy Young candidate, like regularly, like a guy that can do this for the foreseeable future. So they locked him up. He looks like one of the best pitchers in the game. Like, he was always hinting at the possibility that he might be, you know, in that same true ace category. You know, obviously the performance was, you know, incredible. 8-10 punch outs, no walks.
Right.
What did he give up? How many hits?
I think three
hits, but it felt like nobody. It looks sustainable. it didn't look like this guy is just throwing the ball down the middle. He was hitting spots. Very, very, very daunting if he's that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was their first eight-inning outing from a starter in like 2 years. And the fact that it was him, a guy who's notable for being excellent but not being able to last deep into a season. I mean, his career high in innings is 120. That was last year, so maybe there is something in the tank, and maybe he did discover something. I'm really glad he's not in my division. That's all I'll say. I'm glad that he's extended away from me. Maybe I'll only have to face him once a year because he looked absolutely gross. I mean, the Mets lineup that had looked so good for like six games in a row did not stand a chance, and it was obvious very early in that game.
Yeah, you're going to run into that, man. Yeah. There's guys that are going to dominate. Logan Webb is another elite. It's a different animal. He's a sinker guy, sinker yep. slider. But you're going to run into those. Your offense can't beat everyone. You're going to lose baseball games. But it's smart. I like seeing, like, when you lose to a guy that's at his best. Yep. So you got your ass kicked in LA on the way out of town, but you kicked their ass. They were going to win. They yep. were winning regardless. Like, it looked like this is a team that's determined to win, and the Dodgers rolled over and allowed it for the first two games, and then they ran into the buzzsaw. So, you know, that game could have been 1-0, and it still would have felt like it was 10-0.
Just keep taking 2 out of 3, right? That's all you got to do. I mean, this Giants team, they haven't fully gotten rolling yet. They're 10-13. They're fourth in the West. One thing I noticed, they don't steal a lot of bases, and that could be good for us because we haven't thrown out a lot of runners. I mean, they have two guys with two stolen bases. One of them is Matt Chapman, which is a little surprising. The other is Jung-Hoo Lee. Their offense hasn't fully clicked yet outside of Patrick Bailey and Lamont Wade, so hopefully Mets pitching can give us some length, ease off the bullpen a little bit, and come away with two Ws in a series against a beatable team.
Yep, go in. Take advantage of that ballpark. I hope McNeil slaps like three triples.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Nimmo run around, and I can't wait to watch Harrison Bader run in that outfield, dude.
Be fast.
I
athletic.
Truly enjoy watching Harrison Bader play. He's not my type of player, not my normal cup of tea. He's hardo. You know what I mean? He's a guy that I would love to hate on a different team, mm-hmm. but I appreciate what he brings to the table. For that pitching staff and that outfield in San Francisco is huge. And I want to see Bader fly around and do some special things.
Jerry, the Mets currently employ a lot of players that I feel like if they're not on your team, you would hate them. Between McNeil, between Bader, even with Nimmo running to first base, smiling after a walk. Like, it's nice to have those guys on your team because just getting under the skin of the other team is a very fun watch. The Mets have been very fun in April, and hopefully they stay fun this week. Got some important games.
That's what I'm looking for. I want to see them bounce back after getting their butts kicked and get back to Mets brand of baseball.
And it'll be some late nights this week, right? What's the start time? Right. 9:45. We're gonna be sleepy this week, Jerry.
Sleepy. I'm coming in this weekend.
3:45 on Wednesday.
Pre and post game.
Nice.
I'll be in town, but I'll have to watch that last game. Like, I'll wake up and watch the highlights probably after I fall asleep in the fifth.
Off day Thursday, and then Cardinals coming to town on Friday for the weekend series. That, I think, is all we got for this episode of Shea Station. Another fun recap. Hopefully the Mets keep cleaning up series so that every time we hop on the mic, it's a lot of good stuff to talk about. Heal up soon, Brooks Raley and Francisco Alvarez. We will miss you guys. Jerry, you got anything else?
That's it.
Let's go Mets. We'll see you guys next week.
Go Mets.
Have a great week. Maybe get a nap.
Oh, and if we do see Sean Jelly, the world's tallest man pitch for the Giants. That guy is 6'11".
Jack with a masterful volume adjust.
Yeah, the 6'11" guy. That'll be fun. And then Jung-Hoo Lee.
Jung-Hoo Lee.
Yeah, he's doing things. It's good to see. Good for baseball.
Good for baseball.
Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
Station. Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.